It's The Current's Music News, the daily podcast where we tell you what you need to know about what's going on in the music world. Today is Monday, February 25th. I'm Jay Gabler. Today we're going to be talking Oscars. Ewan Kerr from NPR News' Cube Critics podcast is going to be popping in to talk about the winners, the losers, and of course, the music. But first, a few more of today's headlines. R. Kelly has pleaded not guilty to 10 charges of aggravated criminal sexual abuse after being arrested in Chicago last week. Kelly remains in custody, seemingly unable or unwilling to produce the $100,000 bond required for release. Authorities are bringing charges related to four different victims, three of whom, they say, were underage at the time of the alleged abuse. Peter Frampton has announced what he's calling a farewell tour. The 68-year-old singer-songwriter says he's been diagnosed with a degenerative muscle disease that will ultimately affect his ability to play guitar and move about the stage. The English-American artist landed six top 40 hits during his late 70s heyday, but he's best known for 1976's album Frampton Comes Alive. Can you hear that exclamation point? It's one of the best-selling live albums ever. His upcoming tour kicks off June 18th in Tulsa, running for dozens of dates before wrapping up in San Francisco on October 12th. Soul singer Jackie Shane has died at her home in Nashville at age 78. She was a transgender pioneer whose career started in Toronto in the 60s and faded away until a recent rediscovery. Although she identified as a woman, she was publicly referred to as a man during her early career, which included a number two Canadian hit with Any Other Way in 1963. In the early 70s, Shane moved to the United States and left her music career, only to be rediscovered in 2017 when the Numero Group issued a Grammy-nominated anthology of her music. Shane said she was proud to be regarded as an inspiration. She recently told the CBC, "I do believe that it's like destiny. I really feel that I've made a place for myself with wonderful people. What I've said, what I've done, they say it makes their lives better."
Here you come again, and you say that you're my friend, but I know why you're here. She wants to know how.
I'm joined by Ewan Kerr, co-host of the Cube Critics podcast from our sister service, NPR News. Thanks for popping in to talk music and movies,
Ewan. I'm excited to be here.
So, generally speaking, given that we are talking about music news here, we should highlight the fact that this was kind of a big year for movies about music at the Oscars. Obviously, you have A Star is Born, Bohemian Rhapsody about the band Queen, the ultimate Best Picture winner, Green Book, was about pianist Don Shirley. There was a lot of music in the movies this year.
Let's face it, there's always lots of music in the movies because it is a very potent element of almost every big screen movie nowadays because it is such an important element in propelling the story forward. But yes, I mean, these were very, very much musical stories. I mean, Star is Born, this is the fourth iteration of, I think, this story. We also have Bohemian Rhapsody, the story of Queen and Freddie Mercury.
So what'd you think of Adam Lambert fronting Queen as the show opener?
I thought it did the job. I mean, they were looking for a big opening, and of course, no one can really truly fill the hole left by Freddie Mercury, but it was a really inspiring performance, and then just to see the Queen still strutting their stuff all these years later.
And bad mistakes I've made a few. I've had my share of sand kicked in my face, but I'm a threat.
I mean, I have to admit that when they showed the Wayne's World clip, I mean, how many of us have been there? But I mean, I can actually remember when I was 16, maybe. We stopped the car, and the first time we heard Bohemian Rhapsody, they opened the windows and cranked the radio. Because what is this thing? And then to see them performing this at the beginning of the Oscars was wonderful.
And they even dusted off Mike Myers and Dana Carvey.
Yeah.
Come out and reprise their characters making puke jokes. That's just a thing that happened.
I think we'll go with a little Bohemian Rhapsody, gentlemen.
Good call.
We're not worthy!
I think I'm gonna hurl.
Don't hurl, because if you honk, I'll spew.
And if you spew, I'll blow chunks. So I shall not hurl.
Good call, good call.
And then Green Book, which is this somewhat controversial story, and has now turned out to be about an extraordinarily talented African-American, classically trained pianist who hires a bouncer from the Copacabana nightclub in New York to drive him around the Deep South in 1962. And it's a very watchable movie, although it has taken some criticism for being, as I've heard described, as a white savior movie, and perhaps diminishing the element about Dr. Don Shirley. It was actually a surprise that it won, it has to be said.
Yeah, in a year when Black Klansman could have won, Black Panther could have won, it seemed to be a conservative choice.
Yes, and there's some question about how the voting all works. I mean, a lot of people thought that Roma, the Alfonso Cuarón movie out of Mexico, was a shoo-in because it's just a stunning film. Although, again, certain amount of controversy, it works a whole lot better on the big screen than it does on the TVs where most people are actually seeing it because, of course, it's a Netflix release. But it would be very interesting to see which of these films actually have any legs historically. I think we'll be hearing about Roma for a long time. I think Green Book, it'll get a big bump for sales from this win, but then probably will just fade off into history. Black Klansman is a really interesting story, a true story. It had a problem because the real-life story kind of petered out. I mean, it was, I'm not giving away too much. However, Spike Lee then created this incredible ending, pulling in the situation from Colorado Springs, Colorado in the 70s, and then linking it up to some of the things that have been happening in the country recently. It's, again, though, I don't know how much legs it's going to have. And people will watch Bohemian Rhapsody forever, I think. Black Panther is, from a cultural point of view, a very, very important film, a makeover for the comic book genre, and it'll be interesting again to see how that character is taken forward, and what the roles of African Americans within the superhero movies, which are. I mean, of course, we also had Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, which was all about the diversity of spider people. And clearly, there is an appetite for this material.
And Black Panther, even though it was not about music, had a huge musical element to it, an acclaimed Kendrick Lamar soundtrack that was up for Best Album at the Grammys. But that was actually also the one song nominated for Best Song of the Year that we didn't hear performed at the ceremony last night. Kendrick Lamar and SZA said they had scheduling conflicts and didn't perform. But we did get some other performances. All the other nominees were performed.
Yeah. I must admit that my eyes kind of glaze over when these shows. But that's just me, I will admit. In most years, are just quite forgettable. Clearly, the Lady Gaga song has touched a nerve somewhere, and it was an extraordinary performance during the show with Bradley Cooper, and so I think people will remember that one for a long time to come.
In the shallow, in the shallow, in the shallow, we're far from the shallow now.
And a song that's really, truly integral to the movie. This is not just the ballad you hear over the closing credits. Yeah, this is the emotional centerpiece of that movie.
Yeah, yeah.
But I thought, you know, the performances did what they needed to do, the musical performances. I appreciated seeing Gillian Welch and David Rawlings up there singing their nice song from the Ballad of Buster Scruggs. The Divine Miss M introduced as such. Nobody's going to be sad about seeing Bette Midler. And, of course, Jennifer Hudson with a stirring performance of I'll Fight from RBG.
But I think you hit on the key word there. It's nice. It's it's perhaps not going to be world-changing.
I think my favorite person on the red carpet was Diane Warren, the composer of I'll Fight, who has now gone 10 for 0 with Oscar nominations and is talking about Susan Lucci.
Oh, dear. But, I mean, it raises the whole question. I mean, what is the value of an Oscar? We have to remember that this is basically a massive self-publicity event for the movie industry. Obviously, people get excited about it, and there's the pageantry and whether or not one show is better than the other. But actually, the other day, my co-host Stephanie Curtis just out of the blue said, okay, tell me who won the best picture the last 2 years. And I'm going, and she said, yeah, there you go. I was actually eventually able to name them. But people get very excited about this and then it all kind of fades into the distance.
It was cool to see Spike Lee, although he didn't win best picture, he won his much belated and long overdue first competitive Oscar for best screenplay. And of course, music fans watching were delighted by his Prince tribute, Purple Outfit.
Yes, very nice. It was very nice. Given his kind of the tension that there is between him and the Academy, I thought it was kind of interesting that once he actually got there, he was up there, he was so excited he could hardly get his speech out. But yes, it was very gratifying to see that he was getting this recognition. One other movie which we have not talked about a lot, but is really, for me, and of course I'm a film nerd, but the most exciting category was the foreign language movie. If you get a chance to see any of those movies, they're amazing. But Cold War by Pavel Pavlikowski is about a pair of musicians who fall head over heels in love in Poland at the end of World War II. And it follows their very tempestuous love affair through till the early 1960s. It's an extraordinary film. Music propels the whole thing. It's folk music, which then becomes Stalinist folk music, and they want to escape, and they move. He's a pianist who moves over to jazz, and you see a lot of how music developed in that part of our very recent history. And the thing is extraordinary is it covers, I don't know, 15 years or something like that. And it does it in, I think it's 84 minutes. It's just an amazing film that will tear your heart out. And if you get a chance, go see Cold War.
All right. Thanks for the tip, Ewan. Now we've got the Motley Crue biopic coming out. So
what more do you need?
I'm sure we'll have more music and movies to talk about at the Oscars next year. Thanks again.
You're welcome.
For today's viral moment, let's talk about a Cher tweet. Always fun to talk about Cher, especially fun to talk about Cher on Twitter. And she is going viral with a single word. A couple of weeks ago, she just tweeted the name Joe. That's it. Just Joe. But who? Why? What? The tweet now has thousands of retweets and over 2,500 replies. One of them is from Joe Jonas, who answered, "Yes, Queen." Other people made jokes about Taylor Swift's boyfriend, actor Joe Alwyn. Some people referenced movies, some referenced songs, including one that got a response from Cher herself. When someone tweeted about Jimi Hendrix singing Hey Joe, Cher responded, "Hung out with him for a little while one night." Well.
Hey Joe, where you going with that gun of yours?
You can see that tweet to prove that I wasn't just making this all up. You can see great video of Jackie Shane and read more about all these stories over at thecurrent.org. I'm Jay Gabler. Our producer is Anna Wiggle. Thanks to Ewan Kerr of Cube Critics for stopping over and talking movies with us today. You can find the Cube Critics podcast wherever you get podcasts. We'll be back tomorrow with more music news headlines.
I'm going down to shoot my old lady. You know I'm kind of messing around.